Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Infibeam Avenues Limited, hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Yashaswi. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q2 and H1 FY24 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Sunil Bhagat, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Purvesh Parekh, Head Investor Relations. Also joining us on the call today is Mr. B. Ravi, who's advising Infibeam on corporate and financial strategy as an independent consultant. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request Mr. Vishal Mehta to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter FY24 earnings call. By far, this quarter has been the strongest quarter for Infibeam Avenues. Transaction processing volume, gross revenue, operating, and net profits are all at an all-time high this quarter. Even the net take rate from payments, they have come in at 9.3 basis points, as our India payments and international payments both showed a rise in the net take rate. We are committed to increase our take rates to double digits by end of this financial year. At the same time, we are also focused on growing our international presence. In this context, it is worthwhile to mention that Vishwas Patel, who is our Joint Managing Director, and his family, through Vibe Ventures, has infused a capital of 1.6 billion rupees into the company, as his commitment to take payment growth to the next level, and the funds will be utilized for overall payments business of Infibeam Avenues. The company has also made a capital investment of 1.2 billion rupees in the first half of 2024 towards international markets. We have a strategy of country in a box. The investments were largely towards procurement of data localizations, scaling up of our businesses, intellectual property rights for networking, as well as security licenses, and they're all funded through internal accruals. We are committed to growing our international footprint, where we are seeing rising demand and growing opportunity. Our monthly payments transaction processing volume in UAE grossed 1 billion dirhams a month, achieving a historical milestone. Currently, our transaction processing volume is consistently more than 1 billion dirham and growing month-over-month. We also debuted the UAE market with our offline QR codes to allow customers to make card payments through their mobile phones. UAE is largely a credit card market. About 80% of all payments we process in UAE is done through credit cards. Later this year, we will also be launching TapPay, CCAvenue TapPay, and other features in the UAE market. Additionally, the company aspires to emerge as a key player in the AI-based fraud detection and prevention market. To quicken and scale up our AI opportunities, the company has made an investment of INR 1 billion by creating a new AI hub as an extension to its GIFT City hub, and this is funded through our internal accruals. Overall, our payments and platform business is now firmly established, and they have become growth engines for the company. I will now hand over the call to Vishwas to give you an update on the payment business, and finally, our CFO, who will talk about our financial performances to all of you. Vishwas, over to you.
Thank you, Vishal. Indeed, the Q2 was a great quarter for Infibeam Avenues. Payment has been at the center of all our execution strategies. I would like to highlight a few developments, specifically in the payments part, from the financial performance of payments that is already shared with you. So during this calendar year, that is 9 months ending September 2023, we have onboarded close to 1 million merchants. That is over 3,500 fully KYC merchants every day on an average in the Indian payment business. Taking the total count of merchants using the CC Avenue platform, a payment gateway, to 2.7 million merchants. We are working towards a plan that can make payments lucrative for our merchants so that they will start accepting credit cards from consumers. This will lead to the higher sales from them as the consumer spends more when using a credit card versus a debit option that reduces consumers' cash balance instantly. This will benefit the company with higher card usage and hence MDR-based TPV, and in return will allow the company to earn more as well as profitably. In the first half of this financial year, the credit card spends has seen a continuous growth. Online credit card spend constitutes 65 to 67% of the total spends. With the increasing online spend, CC Avenue also has increased its market share to double digits compared to 9% in FY 2023. Since the usage of the credit cards in India about 3 decades ago, the number of credit cards in India were about 58 million in January 2021, but it is almost gone to 93 million, addition of 35 million cards in less than 3 years. The usage per card and spend per transaction has also increased phenomenally in this period. We think number of credit cards and the spends will keep increasing despite growth of the non-MDR payment option UPI. This is because the credit card remains a very lucrative option with several benefits at purchase outlets online and offline, and the inherent ability for the consumer to buy high-value products or services by deferring payments. And with our large contributions coming from credit cards and other debit options like net banking and debit cards, it allows Infibeam Avenues to earn profitably. In UAE, at least 80% of our TPV is through credit cards and the rest through wallets. With our debut in the offline in UAE this week, through the introduction of QR cards, codes, and later in the financial year through the TapPay, we will see further rise in TPV in UAE and hence our earnings. Soon we will implement a similar strategy in Saudi Arabia. And by the way, our take rates and business margins are very high in GCC market compared to India. With a capital infusion of $1.6 billion through my family's venture fund, we plan to grow the payments business in India as well as in the international market. Directionally, focus area of payments is to further improve the unit economics or net take rates, and through various initiatives that we are undertaking at the merchant and at the bank level. And second is to grow the international payments business. TapPay will certainly be one of the catalysts in both our focus areas. That's it from me. Over to you, Sunil Bhai.
Thank you, Vishwas Bhai. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through the key parameters of our strong performance in Q2. The rise in the total transaction processing volume can be attributed to both the rise in payments as well as the platform TPV. While payments TPV rose 28% year over year to INR 769 billion, the company's largest software platform implementation customer recorded a growth in TPV by 155% to INR 1 plus trillion in a single quarter. Higher growth in gross revenue was led by 28% growth in TPV and increase in gross take rate by 36% to 112 basis points. A high contribution, that is 51% from credit payment options, led to an increase in the gross take rates in the payments business. A total of 0.6 million merchants were added in first half of FY24, of which 0.27 million merchants were added in quarter 2 of FY24. That is an average addition of 2,900 merchants daily in domestic payment aggregation business. Also recognized by the brand name over CC Avenue. The company's payment net take rate experienced a significant increase in quarter 2 of FY24. That is up by 25% year over year to 9.3 basis points. And primarily due to substantial influx of small merchants who in turn made the most substantial contribution to the surge in the Infibeam Avenues payment business and net take rates. Payment net take rate is now inching closer to the targeted double digit take rate by the end of FY24. For the first time, the company recorded a net revenue of more than INR 1 billion due to improvement in net margins, which in turn led to strong operating performance. Both EBITDA and PAT grew sharply, that is by 70% and 191% respectively. Also, EBITDA and PAT margins improved sharply. The cash and cash equivalents stood at a strong INR 4.2 billion after 1.2 billion CapEx in the first half. Further, the capital infusion through Vive Ventures is going to keep the cash position very strong in the company, which will be used for further expansion initiatives. The company's growth remains in line with the financial guidance issued for FY 2023-2024 during the first half of this year. We are optimistic about achieving better business growth in the upcoming quarter three results on account of festival and travel season, typically a strong quarter for the company. With this, I now hand over the call to the moderator for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the team for strong performance. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what you could attribute to significant improvement in the take rates? Of course, you mentioned some of the thing on the overseas market, but what is essentially driving this up and how we have to see it from a sustained basis, especially when you keep talking about double-digit basis points? So what is the roadmap there?
So Rahul, this is Vishal Mehta here. Earlier in the year, we had actually given a guidance that the company wants to achieve a net take rate of 10 basis points, and specifically in the domestic market. In domestic markets, we go with a lower take rate compared to international. International take rates are much larger and higher. We go at about 18 to 20 basis points in the international market. But domestic markets were competitive and continue to be competitive. Given a lot of things that we are doing, including addition of small merchants, whereby we are able to enable the ecosystem and bring financial inclusions, we are also seeing that we are able to get slightly better take rates on smaller merchants. TapPay is another example where we believe that the take rates are much bigger because the card is present. And when the card is present, you get much better take rates compared to card not being present, given the risk profiles by the card network. So a combination of that, we had guided the investors that we are looking at achieving a double-digit take rate by end of 2024. We are happy with the take rates. We believe that we should be around the take rates of double digits as in 10 basis points by end of this year. We do have many programs that we have established where we can try and see how we create more stickiness and we can increase take rates, one of them being the instant settlement framework that we have come up with, the fast tracking of settlements. I think that increases the take rates for us. TapPay is another example of where we believe we can actually improve our take rates so that between instant settlement and TapPay, we believe that there's good room for us to continue building up from here onwards.
Sure, that's helpful. Secondly, on the platform revenue perspective, what we have seen is that there is a significant almost doubling of the transaction on a QOQ basis while the revenue has compressed. I understand the bulk of the increase would have happened on GeM portal. So what is the traction in the non-GeM part of it, and also why the significant jump in the GeM TPV not leading to any revenue accretion Is it that slab rate would mean that this run rate would imply a similar or lower revenue for us?
Sure. So if you look at the earlier GeM contract that we have, in that, our take rates don't increase linearly with the TPV. So in other words, it's not a linear increase. And so there are parameters whereby if it's a government-to-government contract, then we don't get take rates. And if it is government-to-business contracts and some of the other activities that are also there as part of TPV, which don't reflect into our take rates. So that is one observation, which is they don't increase linearly with those. And in specific, I think this quarter, the quarter in question is Q2, we crossed 1 lakh crores in TPV on the GeM portal itself. So the portal's been able to manage and handle that kind of capacity. But given the non-linear increase based on, if you look at the p-value, we can actually give you specifics. It's all public information about how GeM computes the TPV. But the fact is that it's not a linear increase where our take rates continue being the same as the TPV increases. So that's one. And second is that there are a few exceptions like government-to-government deals which may be part of GeM but which does not translate into TPV. So that's one of the reasons why you don't see the full expansion of what you would expect if TPV had increased so much. As far as the traction of the framework on implementations outside of GeM, they continue to be strong. We continue building up from, we've not added additional clients. We are reaping the benefits of what we have built out for the other clients. We are adding a lot of interesting modules within our framework through our new initiative on artificial intelligence. We believe that once we add those modules, and we expect that we'll have more to announce in the Q4 time frame of this year, that we'll be able to pick up implementations which are potentially much larger than what we have done so far, adding multiple facets to our framework which perhaps were not there before. So, to answer your question, we have not added additional clients, in the first half of this year, but we continue reaping the benefits of what we've already implemented and going deeper into the ecosystem of existing clients.
Right. And you said, what could be the growth in the non-GeM part of it, and what's the plan out here? What is the real potential out here? Because eventually at some point we may have to possibly forgo the GeM revenue.
So we constantly think about it. We think that, when we do have certain options to implement, we've not taken up those options yet. We've got a good amount of traction on what we have and a lot of derivative work that keeps on building up and going deeper into the ecosystem. So we've taken a conscious approach of going deeper into the ecosystem of what we have, as opposed to keeping on adding new clients. As far as, the concentration of GeM and trying to go and figure out what are the other options that the company holds, at some point the revenues from maybe a particular concentrated platform dries out, we have a couple of options as of today also to implement. And, we are calibrating that approach. By end of this quarter, which is Q3, we will have more to share.
Sure. That's interesting. And if I see in this specific quarter and look at any other cost line item, be it cost of services for platform business or the other expenses, which is the non-employee expenses, those have taken a very sharp dip and is at a multi-quarter low. So is there any specific reason why this number is pretty low in this quarter, or there is a significant cost efficiency or rationalization measure that we might have taken?
I think there is one line item which can be shared, and I think it's there in our presentation, which is the mark-to-market, notional mark-to-market loss and gains on securities held by the company. So last year there was reportedly a larger expense due to the last quarter mark-to-market being lower, and this quarter it's recovered. So that's why you see that dip.
Okay, so you're saying that is part, this mark-to-market thing which you're talking about is part of the expenses and not in the part of the other income.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, and lastly, if I may, despite a very strong Q1 and all...
I request you to join back the queue, please, as there are other participants waiting.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Anuj Narula from Makrana Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Anuj Narula?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So I have multiple questions. So first of all, like, with the exceptional performance of the international payments sector in the UAE, this quarter result primarily from a shift in market share and expansion of our business operations, or is it a broader trend of robust growth in the payments industry within the UAE? And looking ahead to FY24, what is our outlook for international business, and what is the anticipated overall revenue contribution to be? So this is my first question. Secondly, what's the progress in TapPay, and how many more merchants have we onboarded this quarter? I think one of your quarter is also one of your competitor is also going big here. And what's your take on this? Lastly, just wanted to take an update on the AI business. What kind of progress have we done this for us? That's all, Thomas. Thank you.
Sure. So Vishwas will tell you a little bit more specifics about the UAE business. But let me answer the second half of your first question, which is, what is driving our UAE business, and what is also potentially the contribution of our international expected to become as we scale up the businesses. We have given the guidance, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, and we have said that international should be 30% of our business. Today, it's less than 10% of our business. And we believe that international expansion is, we have much better take rates in international compared to domestic. Our agreements with merchants as well as card networks enable us to go internationally. Our deep integrations into local and international ERP systems, enable us to actually to not just be a payment processor, but actually become slightly more involved in the ecosystem build-up as well. So we think of ourselves as more of an infrastructure, payment infrastructure play, and not just a payment gateway. I think we'll continue building up on those lines. So to answer your question, in the next few years, we expect that, international should be 30% of our overall contribution. And that's the path that we'd like to take going forward. As far as the UAE business is concerned, we've had a few thousand merchants on the platform. We need to scale that up. We need to build up more, visibility and presence through the QR code-based implementation that we've initiated. We believe that at least the brand will potentially become slightly more visible compared to what it is at the moment. Today, people and customers, they only use us online. They don't use us offline. And we also believe that there is a potential for TapPay to build up in that region as well. While we have not implemented TapPay in that region, when we do, we will let you know. But we think that the digital transformation is happening not just in India, it's also happening in other places. And Middle East is very ripe for such opportunities. And given that we are a strong brand and, we've got, a head start, and we have spent, quite a bit of time, effort and resources on building that out, we think that, we can propel this, much quicker and faster going forward. Vishwas can add a little bit more about UAE once I, and then I'll talk about AI. Vishwas?
Yeah. So UAE per se, it's been a very good year, and I think that's been
a couple of things that have added to the factor. One is our deep tech integrating with a lot of local platforms, right? Like Emirates Auctions went live, so the entire platform we integrated deeply into it. Similarly, a lot of hospitality businesses we've been able to do by directly integrating into their property management systems and other things. And a lot of maintenance of all the top builders there in the UAE, Imar, Nakheel, Demac. So maintenance of all the apartments, the deep integration, which is growing this transaction substantially to today now a 1 billion AED a month. Right. So these things now coupled with now further growth we are looking at is going totally offline, which we had not focused till now in the UAE market. So with our partnerships with the local banks there, we are going to attack around 100,000 local outlets in various modes across the UAE. There's QR codes, there is the tap pay implementation, omni-channel and channel and other kind of tech stuff. So UAE is quite exciting, and we are replicating the same in Saudi now very soon. So Saudi is at least 8 to 10x bigger market than UAE, and it's like the world's largest, with Saudi government targeting 30 million a year religious tourism and 100 million for normal tourism. So I think that market is also very exciting, and we should go live in the next couple of weeks. So that's the target. So UAE will continue to grow as we go more focused more now on the offline world also. And that is it. So from AI perspective, Vishal, you want to give an update?
We've announced the establishment of AI Hub, and we said that we'll focus on the verticals of fraud, authentication, and risk frameworks. The thing about AI, and one of the things that we are doing, we'll share more as we build up, is first we are making software developers in our own company as customers to our AI models. We have to think of AI more like software development, and not, you still have model diagnostics, unit testing. You need to build out a framework and a process to be able to deliver. So unless we do that, it doesn't work. And we have to treat, our developers as customers. So to give you an example, while we think about fraud, authentication, and risk, we are thinking about first, also work on the basics of productivity within our organizations. To give you an example, and this is not unknown to many, but just building out basic models that potentially allow you to code in one language and will translate it to another language. If AI models are smart enough to transliterate from English to Hindi, they can also be very smart in terms of literally translating your coding from one language like Python to a Java and vice versa. So you don't need to have specific software developers working on specific line items, and you don't need to hire for a particular language. All the way from there to actually building out, foundation models across billions of transactions that we hold. We have access to so many transactions, so we can build out our own foundation models, which is specific to payments and transactions. And based on that, if we are able to allow, whether it's a bank or a financial institution to plug in their own data and tune the models for their own requirements while preserving their IP, which is keep the data that you hold within your own firewall frameworks, but work with our foundation model so that no data becomes compromised in any way, shape, or form. Those are the directions that we are taking. Today, it's too early to tell you more about these initiatives. We need to, because I don't think we should be talking about pilots. We should be talking about implementations of pilots at scale. So once we get to that point, maybe in the Q4 timeframe, in the Q1 of first year, we'll be able to share more information about the AI Hub. One thing I can tell you is we are building out a whole ecosystem. We are not just building out silos, which means that, we want to work with companies who can actually work at the application layer while we provide the foundations of those transactions model.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Gaurav Somani from Korman Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I have two questions. So first was the promoter stake is coming like 2%. Any sense on this would be stabilizing given our stake is already...
Mr. Somani, Can I request you to use the handset, please? You are not clearly audible.
Hello.
Yes.
Is it better now? Yes, sir. The promoter stake has come down by 2% in the last 2 quarters. If you can comment on that, and is there any further setting down the line?
Sure. In the last quarter, about 3 months ago, we had talked about a disassociation within the promoter family, and so the reduction that you see is as a result of that. I think there's not much more to add beyond that. As far as the promoter is concerned, we are continuously building out for the long term. But given the disassociation which has been made public, the numbers, the drop in 2% is due to that event.
Okay.
Reclassification, that's all.
Okay, got it.
Gaurav, there is reclassification plus the number of shares have also increased because Mr. Vishwas Patel, through White Ventures, he's also converted all his warrants into equity. So the number of outstanding shares has increased, which has resulted into overall reduction in percentage. So that's a very natural arithmetic kind of stuff.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Next question was, any sense on the CapEx and for CapPay and etc. for FY25 and the growth which you're expecting for FY25?
We will be sharing guidance for FY25, as we go through the holidays. So traditionally, we've been sharing guidance in the Q1 of the year for the remainder of the year. And we'll continue the practice of sharing the same going forward. This year's guidance were also provided in the first quarter of this year. So we expect in 25 we can do the same. I think what you can do is reasonably assume that international is going to be our focus. We talked about international being percentage of our revenue, to go from sub 10% to 30% of our revenues. We think that, just the fact about getting into express settlement, that is going to be our focus, and that will help us in terms of, in some ways maintaining our take rates as well as expanding our take rates. And we'll go into verticals where payments, and today we are into certain verticals where we are not active in those verticals, like hospitality, travel, and many others, we are active. But there are a few verticals we have identified where we are not active. And we believe that, with the initiative of AI, as well as being able to go and figure out how we can, partner/build those verticals out, we believe payments can be significant in that space. Offline just being one component, because I told you we are not into offline today. Every single transaction short of TapPay, we were only online. But TapPay is also growing out. So that's a vertical we have identified, which is offline payments without actually, and that is a greenfield opportunity for us. We can build up. So those kinds of opportunities we'll continue investing into. We've doubled, in some ways we closed that, we are growing at 60-70% year over year in terms of revenue. So we'll need to identify, the opportunities and prioritize them based on, a similar growth rate that we should focus on going forward as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We'll take the next question from the line of Mayur Liman from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good evening, everyone. And congratulations on good set of numbers. My first question is, CapEx of 1.2 billion rupees we did during the first half internationally. Can you elaborate more in terms of what all verticals have we invested and how we aim to reap benefit probably contribution expected in toppling from this going forward?
Sure. So you're aware that we are into, naturally Middle East as a geography. We are into Australia and US. We've opened up. one of the things that have happened in the past few quarters is that, you know, data localization, you know, as well as licensing has become a requirement for all the geographies. For instance, if we were in Saudi, if we are in UAE, there is now a license requirement, and the license has stringent requirements on what you can and cannot do outside of that geography. And in order to satisfy such requirements, which we broadly classify as data localizations, we need to build out our own set of intellectual property, IT infra, software-driven switches, being able to go and figure out how we can scale it up. We've crossed the scale hurdle as well. So, for example, in UAE, we are at $1 billion. We need to be able to invest into those areas which allow us to scale up international, you know, significantly. So in our setup of country in a box, it's reasonable to assume that as we scale up, we will have a 3 to 5 million capex per geography. And we'll calibrate that approach and build up as we go through. What this will do is it will allow us to do two things. One is we will continuously expand the international participation from sub 10% to 30% of our revenues. That is one. Second is that the take rates in international are much bigger compared to what we have in India. They are almost double than what we see in India and even more. And there are many things that we need to work on in international that enable us to scale up further. So I think that, you know, while we'll continue investing in those opportunities, we don't want to create a situation where we have variable costs for everything. It's much better in certain cases to build up a fixed cost and then reap the benefits as we scale up. And so I think, you know, we've taken a conscious call on those areas. You know, Vishwas just mentioned about Saudi. You know, we have almost completed the whole data localization and every requirement for Saudi. And we'll keep on building up further going, you know, from, you know, almost no transaction to perhaps what you see in UAE. Since Saudi is 10x the market of what UAE is, we continue building up Oman. So I think those are the areas where we'll keep on investing in, US and Australia being next. So, you know, there's a whole process of being able to enable and to get activated in those geographies. So we'll continue following that approach. But you can expect the returns to show up in the next couple of years.
Thank you, sir. My second question is 1 lakh GMV in a single quarter on GM. Where do you see this going? I mean, what would be the sustainable growth numbers here once all the departments are onboarded? And how do you see the FY24 and FY25 in terms of GM and GMV?
See, I can't talk on behalf of the client, obviously, but one thing I can tell you is that there's been a lot of news around in terms of what to expect. In fact, you know, as of today also, there's some news about, you know, potentially what GEM can and cannot, you know, achieve. So I think, you know, if they're doing about a 1 lakh crore a quarter and Q4 still being a large quarter, potentially is significant. But it'll be a disservice to talk about specifics for clients. You know, short of that being public information. You're also aware that GEM has been awarded, the contract for GEM as an MSP has been awarded to TCS. You know, and TCS has about 18 odd months to be able to build out a new GEM platform. So while we don't have much information today to share with you in terms of specifics, we do believe that we'll continue, you know, providing services. Since e-marketplace is something that we specialize in, and that is the core and the heart of the tech framework that we provide to GEM. But we will have more information to share with you in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Pari from OHM Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. So congratulations on the numbers. And my question stands that the current EBITDA which you guys do, which is 70 crores, can I have a breakup of how much of this comes from GEM and how much is from your core business that PC Avenue space?
No, we do provide segmental, but beyond that, we don't specifically dissect it up to the client level. So, you know, rightfully so, only because I think, you know, that becomes very specific in certain cases. But, you know, if you look at the segmental results between platform and payments, you'll get some idea.
Okay. And one more question is that the 70 crores EBITDA which you guys have currently done, so the with the GEM contract going to TCS, and after that, do you expect this 70 crores of EBITDA to become the next new base for the growth? And will you continue to grow from here on?
Like I said, we do have certain opportunities in front of us that we can pick up and we can build up upon. So what we look at doing internally is that while there is some concentration on a client, in the platform business, how do we get into more opportunities that potentially enable us to switch and grow? Given the situation, I think for most companies, they would think a similar way, which is, how do I reduce the concentration if there is one? And through that strategy, what we know is that we have got, opportunities to sign up and to provide such frameworks to certain companies, institutions. We have not, taken them up so far. Our strategy so far had been to go deeper into our existing client base. But, like I said, in the next 4 to 8 weeks, we'll know a lot more about, how the engagement will work up. We will share that information with you. But one thing I can tell you is that we'll take up other assignments and we'll be able to share that with you in the first quarter of next year.
That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Hemal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I actually want to go a little bit deeper on the AI-based fraud detection. I was just trying to understand, who are your competitors right now in the market space, whether AI or non-AI? And what kind of moat will you be able to deliver through AI? What will be your differentiator, what they don't have? Because I'm assuming most of the financial institutions, payment systems, network players, fraud and detection is, as you mentioned, is a huge market and there will be a lot of servicing players. So how will you differentiate on that? And who are your current competitors and what do you see as your differentiating factor? If you can share some line of sight, it'll really be helpful.
Sure. So you're right. I think AI is a very large field and the pace at which it's evolving is much quicker than you think. What we realize is that an engineer can pick up a problem and come back in 2 days with a solution and it works with 80% accuracy. And so the evolution of how solutioning also evolves and the way AI is evolving is pretty rapid and the clock speed is much different in terms of what we have seen. What would have taken traditionally, maybe months, we can perhaps get it in days. So productivity is one place where we know AI works very well. And every company can potentially see what they can do. And if you try it on your own employees, to be able to aid them, it's like a co-pilot on whatever they're doing. That becomes a fundamental, starting point for anyone to be able to adapt. So it's not a forcing function, but it's more of an adaptation. That's one. The more important part is, it starts with data in our mental model. And once you have, billions of transactions and data across that, then I think, we can try to figure out, what are the models that we need to build up. So in other words, being able to create, there's a whole system and a process and you need to build out your own data lakes and figure out what you can do with it. But more importantly, what are the models to build up so that, it is able to identify things, which computers can do much better than humans in frequencies and scale. So I think that's the place that one needs to work on. And, once you have those, then how do you append, data of third-party companies and provide them that framework as a service? So what we are not doing, I'll tell you, is we are not doing LLMs, which is what, ChatGPT and others do. What we are doing, though, is anything which is going to be relating to commerce and payments, both online and offline. And that's the vertical that we choose to build up. So I wouldn't be, too surprised if we go and say that, listen, these are all nomenclatures, but are you guys working on visual AI? If it is going to be important to commerce, we will work on visual AI as far as commerce is concerned, because there's frauds that happen even in the offline world, in retail, not just online world. So I think, you know, anything which is online, offline, in commerce and payments, that's where we'll work on fraud, authentication, and risk. With this concentrated effort, which is actually quite narrow compared to the whole realm of what, you know, perhaps AI and AI companies can do, and given the scale at which we operate, we think that we may have an advantage compared to everyone else. So we will have a product as well as we'll build out AI as a service. And both of them become interesting because I think, you know, and since this question came from yourself, I'm assuming you know a little bit more, you know, compared to, you know, traditionally what people would know. But, you know, we will have differentiators. The differentiators will be eventually people and scale. And data. So once you have that, you know, three aspects together, I think it becomes interesting. In terms of competitors, I mean, I think, you know, in fraud, you've seen international companies like Revelin and others also provide such frameworks. Yeah, I can name, you know, not one, but 50 competitors in the space. So a lot of companies provide such fraud frameworks at point of sale and many other areas. I think it's evolved, and unfortunately or fortunately, companies that started long time ago, you know, they have a lot of legacy to deal with. And, you know, with, you know, what we have learned, and we are also, to be very candid, and we ourselves are reading a lot of research papers, because it's not something that we know offhand. Generative AI, we've never known. So we are reading, and, you know, the team's also learning as much as we would tell you that, you know, we know exactly what we're doing. We are also learning about all the different, you know, opportunities that are coming up and gaining our own knowledge. And we do have a thesis on how we differentiate. But in a nutshell, I think it's with access to data and being able to deliver something at scale.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And one last question. Do you believe second half is always better than your first half, right? You should do a better, as you have mentioned, net better revenues, better net payment take rates than first half. Is that a good understanding?
Second half usually has festivals, and, you know, in terms of, you know, payments and many other activities, they kind of scale up in the second half compared to the first half. So we are usually, you know, we don't have a typical Christmas holiday effect that you would see in the U.S., but we typically see a much better business opportunity in the second half compared to the first one. So you're right.
Thank you, sir. This is all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Ayushi Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So basically, I have questions on two different aspects. First is the GeM. Sir, in your investor presentation, it is mentioned that transaction-based revenue model, the GeM and license annuity subscription, basically under enterprise customers is on a on a revenue model, and other customers, they are working on a license and fees model. So does this stand true for post-renewal of contracts with GeM as well? And so in the last conference call also, you had said that we'll, you know, give information about whether or not we, you know, we go with GeM and other core solutioning frameworks in the next 2 to 4 weeks. 2 to 4 weeks is the timeline you had given last time, and that's the timeline that you're giving this time again. So I want to understand where you're going with this GeM offer and, like, what is the status of it first.
Sure. So, fair comment. I think, you know, unfortunately, I don't have too much to share beyond what I've already told you on GeM, which is that we have the contract, we are providing the core pieces of the framework. You know, we expect to know more, you know, as we go through and build up. There are some moving parts, but we believe that, you know, the core of what GeM currently holds, the new framework has, you know, a time delay before it gets built up, designed, implemented, so on and so forth. But until that point, we believe that, you know, our solutioning will always be in place. GEMS, whatever solution that we have deployed, that intellectual property that for that solution belongs to us. So, post, the renewal, two possibilities will exist. One is that, it continues being utilized in the way it is, or it gets utilized in a slightly different commercial model. That particular specifics, I'll only be able to share with you once I have that information. I don't have that information as of now. But the usage of that is definitely a given. So that much we can tell you. The other implementations, you're right, is licensing. If our opportunity to license and to grow with GEM may not look very different than what we have right now. So I don't see sitting where I'm sitting today, we don't see a step change. But, like I said, I don't have more specifics to share with you, beyond what I've just said so far.
All right, sir. So my second area of questions was about the listing of the UAE subsidiary. So you mentioned that right now what we're doing is in 1 month we're processing around 1 billion dirhams, 1 billion basically. And if you convert it, you get to around 360 billion USD per annum. Now, so the valuation of the UAE business should be if you're taking into account the valuations of LaserPay and other comparable fintech, we should be around $300-$500 million at least. So this is what back of the paper calculations that I can do right now. So what is your plan about the listing? Will you be listing at a similar valuation? Because otherwise, we don't want to go for undervaluation, right?
So I should be very candid. Internally, we don't think too much about, we track and we monitor, but we are more focused on building value, and not just valuation. Now, with that said, you're right. Valuation is very important. And, one thing I can tell you is, our commitment so far is we want to scale up that business, by a factor. That much we can tell you. If we are going to go from a sub 10% to a 30% for our international business, that will mean that, a substantial growth, because it's just not a 30% shift in revenue from domestic to international. It's really domestic growing at a certain pace, international growing, and then being able to see some step changes there. We will be looking at, scaling that business up. And, we will have some more information to share as and when they become available to us. But one can expect that, you should hear more from us in the second half of this year.
So that is very helpful. And I had a few follow-up questions regarding, three follow-up questions regarding what we discussed in the previous earnings call. So one, what is the update regarding the patent we had filed for TaxPay? I haven't received a reply about that since the Q4 FY23. That is the first part. The second part is that in the investor presentation, it is mentioned that the company is yet to receive UPI dues from banks. I want to understand what is the quantum of this amount. Will it be a one-off payment, or will it be continuous receipts going forward?
So, regarding TaxPay, the necessary application for the intellectual property rights registration has already been made. We've yet to hear, because it usually takes a year or two for the final grant or a license, if approved, to come through. So, but we have made the application on the intellectual property side for the TaxPay application, the only channel and certain functionalities around it. On the second part, on the UPI, the government had provisioned 2 years back 1350 crores, and then last year 1500 crores, which subsequently around was increased to 2400 crores for UPI and RuPay debit card benefits to be passed on to the ecosystem. But we are right now, we have not received anything from the banks, though we are talking with our banks to whom we process our UPI transactions. But the clarity still remains on the way and the methodology, how METI is distinguishing it. As and when we receive it, it will be a one-off payment for the
transactions processed for the last 24 months or so. We have not booked it in our books, nor have we claimed it till now. But if and when if it do happens, and if it, we assume that it might happen, if the banks with whom passes on some of the benefits to us, then definitely we'll book it in the coming quarters. And till now, we have not made any provisions or booked any of those profit in our books.
Okay, sir. Sir, and what you said about
I request you to join back the queue because we have other participants waiting. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Biju, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have one question. Actually, 3 years back, regarding 2020, our operating margin was around 20% with lesser revenue. Now our revenue increased, but operating margin is hovering around 12%. So what we are doing to achieve 20% operating margin? Thank you.
Thanks. So the mix between as our payments business has scaled up, digital payments business, to give an example, you know, year over year also it's getting up to almost, 70-80%. And as we scale up our business, you will see, changes to operating margins. We have been talking about net take rates there as a barometer, which will help us improve our operating margins. If you look at our net take rates, last quarter it was 8.2%, 25 pips. Basis points, which means that on a like-to-like comparison, this quarter we went from 8.2 or 8.25 bips to almost 9.3 bips, and we've given guidance that we'll increase it to double-digit, through a series of activities that we believe can potentially help us scale it up in this competitive environment. International, of course, has much bigger take rates. And so, part of the argument is how do we scale up international as well? So you will see that with scale, you will have, some compression in operating margins. The mix of business as it builds up, that will have an impact to the operating margin. We are actually focused more on absolute cash and not just percentages alone. So if you ask us internally, I think we look at what is the absolute cash generation in the business. And percentages are important, and we want to, perhaps get some operating leverage. But see, in a competitive world like this, for all practical purposes, we don't work like a monopoly. We have a lot of competitors in the space, and in terms of size and scale, if there are number one, number two, three in India, we will be one of them. So we think that as far as our business is concerned, let's focus on the absolute cash generation and not just percentages, while we keep on working on the operating metrics that will help us improve our margins.
Okay,
so I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Could we achieve that level within one year, possible, around 15%?
We will give you guidance. We've given guidance for this year. We'll give you guidance for next year.
Second small question is, when will demerger will happen, sir? 6 months
down. We filed for the demerger, so we expect to hear back, from the regulators. But as soon as we hear back, we will update you on the same.
Okay. As we are waiting, our EPS will be increased because it's now below 1. So we are hoping that 220 is above 1.
Sure. Now we'll work hard for that. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Ayushi Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So basically what you said about GEM, about deciding whether we want to continue focusing on our existing clientele or take up new opportunities, is there a conflict of interest? Can we not use our IT for other commercial customers if you're using it for the government marketplace? Or I want to understand a bit more about that.
Actually, it's very clear that, whatever marketplace framework that we have provided is intellectual property, which belongs to Infi Avenues. So if that clarifies your question, I think our stance clear.
All right. No, basically wanted to understand whether it impacts the new customers that we onboard.
No, since the intellectual property belongs, the base intellectual property of what we have and the one that we are providing to many clients, that continues to stay with us. Whatever we build for the client which is bespoke or derivative work in some ways, will belong to the client. So as far as the dissection is concerned, it's clear. I don't see any reason why it would have an impact on what we do with other clients.
All right. And so what is the reason behind the reduction in current investment from 37.5 crores to 2 crores? Hello?
That's a liquid investment.
So, could you elaborate on that, Ayushi, please? What exactly you're trying to understand?
So basically, like, where are these funds being redirected? Like, if we are reducing those investments, and it's a substantial decrease, right? That's a 37.5 crores to 2 crores. So I wanted to understand the nature of those investments.
I see. And so that, Sunil this side. The investment that you are talking about, 37.5 crore versus 2 crore, that is the current investment, that is we have invested in the liquid investment, and the actual amount of investment is non-current investment, it is 423 crore last year and 442 crore this year.
Alright, and so basically the proceeds from WISE that we've got recently, where will that exactly be used? Will it be used for the new AI, basically the Syntex plant that we acquired? Is it over there?
Yeah, some portions will be used for building out of the AI ecosystem. Fortunately, we do have good cash flows. So we build out international and building up of the AI ecosystem. We'll also be deploying some capital in terms of express settlement. So we believe that there is also an opportunity to explore further. And we'll continue making those allocations based on what the returns potentially end up looking like.
Right, so the acquisition, the $1 billion that we spend on this particular acquisition of property, will that be like under the ITES policy that the CAPEX support that we are getting? Will we, you know, will it be redeemed that way?
Yeah, that's the perspective I provided in the call earlier, which is, we will look at the potential of, the ITES. Gujarat government has built up quite a bit of opportunities for IT companies to be able to locate and build up business here. So we'll certainly look at that.
All right. So that was really, really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining our second quarter half-year earnings call, and we look forward to keeping in touch with you and keeping you updated on the progress. And
thank
happy
you.
Diwali to everyone in advance.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.